This is Lori Prox here with Police Chief Bart Hinkle. And Bart, I haven't had you in since you're chief, so congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And I did want to have you in. We are just in passing. There's not any immediate reason to have a discussion. But marijuana was legalized in the state of Alaska, and it's taken quite a while for the laws to be kind of figured out. We kind of vote for something and then, you know, figure out how it's going to work. So that's been a long, drawn-out process. But we now have... We had the first pot shop open here in Valdez. So I guess we can start there. You had to actually do some of the inspections on that, the new shop.
Correct. Yeah. The way the system is designed is that the council serves as our local regulatory authority for these commercial marijuana industry, and they rely on local law enforcement to do the compliance checks and the regulatory checks. And so initially I met with the owners of the Herbal Outfitters, who we're talking about in this case, and walked through as they were still under construction, got an idea of how they were going to operate and whatnot. And since they've been open, I've also gone in there one more time and done an inspection.
And I read through the permitting process. It's quite exhaustive. There's a lot of security checks that have to happen. So I don't know if you could explain cameras.
Yeah, so they have a number of regulatory things that they have to meet. And like you said, surveillance cameras is definitely one. And then they have the retention of that video as well. They have obviously ID checks and things of that nature. They have very specific ways in which they can store their product, in which they can transport their money, how that has to be done, the number of people. I mean, it is a very regulated industry. And we are fortunate here in Valdez thus far to have two businesses that have a very good and transparent relationship with not only myself at the police department, but also other city administration.
And our idea with this interview is not to judge, you know, whether people have different opinions, whether they, you know, but marijuana is legal in the state of Alaska. It gets a little hinky because it's not legal at the national level. So what issues does that provide to you in terms of law enforcement?
So for me, from the law enforcement, from the local law enforcement perspective, it doesn't affect us at all. It really comes into play for the rural communities that are trying to open some of these establishments as far as transportation. I know they're working through that issue, as well as, you know, where the money is being stored and how it's being stored because of the FDIC at the banks. And I believe we're still working through that. And there is such a thing out there as the Cole Memorandum, which refers to basically the federal authorities saying that if people are engaged in otherwise lawful state activity and following the state's regulatory rules, that the feds are not going to pursue any sort of prosecution. So that's why I think you're able to have places like in Sitka or something where the only way out there is to fly or take the ferry that I think they're able to operate.
All right. And it's no secret their marijuana is here. It's been in the state, you know, and people have been using legal or not legal. With now legal establishments selling marijuana, is this going to change how the police department responds to calls? Have you had, I mean, it's been pretty short term, but do you have more calls for incidents, or what are the things that you're running into with this change, or if anything?
Sure. So it's pretty fresh. I mean, the store's only open in October, and so it's too early to tell. And some of the other things that we're up against, and it's not just us, and it's not just Alaska. This was true even in Colorado, and there was no baseline data set for marijuana initially. So 5 years back, we weren't tracking this information. So any information I give you now, there's nothing to really compare it to. What we have done locally is we are now tracking the number of our calls that involve alcohol, that involve marijuana, that involve a combination of the two, because they're not mutually exclusive. But in the past, let's use a DUI as an example. If a person was arrested for an alcohol-involved DUI but also had marijuana, well, it just went down as alcohol because there is an established level, and it's easier. Law enforcement is used to dealing with that, and our statutes are geared towards that. So it just went down as an alcohol DUI, and the marijuana was involved but not tracked. And so we're working.
Unless it was a large volume, right?
Unless it was a large volume, and it led to some other charge, which was pretty rare, really. So we are doing a better job of trying to track that. And for basically just the sole purpose of being able to report to you, our citizens, our council, saying, here's the amount of calls that we have that involve this. And again, not offering any commentary on it, just getting that information out there.
All right. And everyone knows, so if you pull someone over for a DUI, then you have them walk the line, they have a breathalyzer, and everyone kind of knows the rules there, and you can have a boot on their car. You know, there's, so with marijuana, what if you suspect that, how did the police handle that?
So
and let's be clear, it's legal to have smoked marijuana, but definitely not to operate a vehicle.
Yes. And so the way the statute reads is impaired. And so you have to be impaired by a substance. And we're going to use marijuana as that. With alcohol, it's a 0.08 grams per 210 milliliters of breath. And that means nothing other than everybody knows if you blow into it, it says 0.08, that's over the statutory legal limit. There is no such thing with marijuana. And so that's why we're at this impairment or this under the influence sort of assessment. And so
it's hard to gauge because it could be other drugs, it could be prescription drugs. It could be
a number of things, correct.
Yeah.
And so the roadside field sobriety tests that you mentioned were primarily for alcohol, that, you know, we're familiar with the walk straight line and do that kind of stuff. And for other substances, there's a couple other different tests. So that does involve some additional training for us. But if those tests are given and somebody in the officer's opinion is under the influence or impaired, then an arrest is effected. And then there's additional requirements there, and that would involve blood draws and things of that nature.
Now, have you noticed any uptick in, you know, pulling people over and wondering about marijuana? Is it the same?
So at this point, I would say it's the same. And again, marijuana and alcohol are not mutually exclusive. So we've had strictly drug DUIs in the past. We will continue to have them. And we've had strictly alcohol. We've also had ones that involve both. And as I explained, the alcohol ones are what we're comfortable with. They're more established. And so if it's a combination of the two, but alcohol is over the legal limit, then it goes down as an alcohol DUI prominently.
And what are some of the misconceptions people have? I think people are, you know, very confused. I mean, well, you can't drive. It's legal. Well, so some of those things, whether you can consume in public, I think people know the alcohol rules fairly well, but with regard to marijuana, what are some of the misconceptions or maybe some of the things that people should know if they want to use it responsibly?
So I think there's probably three big things. First of all, anything we're talking about here does not pertain to anybody under the age of 21. So any changes do not affect them. I mean, it is still illegal for anybody under 21. So that's should be pretty clear. As far as public consumption, that is not allowed. So you cannot partake of marijuana or ingest it or in any form. You cannot do that in public. And there's a definition of public, but I'll just use.
And I was kind of surprised reading through the laws. It's illegal to sell marijuana at a bar.
Correct. Yes. You cannot mix the alcohol.
I'm not sure I understand the rationale. You know, it's
that mixed licensing, maybe. I'm not sure. But no, you cannot do it.
And alcohol is regulated by the ABC board. Marijuana is regulated by the state, and they're kind of developing.
So now they've combined. They're this combined board now. So they've taken on this additional responsibility, but yet they haven't added additional investigators. And so thereby that's why we as the local police department are sort of responsible for our area now.
All right. And is that getting more defined? I know it's talking with Lisa, she put together a whole lot of, you know, there were a lot of things that had to come together at the state level as far as regulating how it was all going to work. Are most of the rules set down now?
Most of the regulations are set forth, yeah. And like you said, we've seen two successfully go through the application process and be in business now here locally. So it is a pretty established process. There is a flow chart even that's online that'll tell applicants how to proceed. I know Lisa Von Bargen at Community Development, I know she gets involved earlier on because potential applicants probably go talk to her and make sure mm-hmm. the zoning requirements aren't going to be a huge issue. At the police department, we receive this from the city clerk, and that's after the state's kind of already said, okay, we see no problems with this. Then we as a municipality have the option, or actually we have the duty, if you will, to go and make sure that we don't, as a local city, have any issues with it. And so we have 60 days to contest that state application.
All right. So, and, you know, we've just want to point out some of the information regarding marijuana, not necessarily, you know, say this is good, this is bad, but the state of Valdez in general. I know people read the police report, and over the summer, generally a whole lot of activity, domestic violence, criminal, and such. But I haven't had you in much, and you know, sometimes I think people aren't aware of some of the things that happen. You know, you read the police report and think, wow, you know, that really that did happen. But what are some of the concerns at the, you know, it sounds like marijuana is not the number one concern of the police force right now. So what are some of the things that you're concerned about for our town? I know at points it was prescription drugs and a lot of things happening that maybe some folks aren't aware of.
Sure. And I'll be clear that the department is still very committed to anti-drug or drug education, drug awareness at the elementary, middle school, and high school levels. And we want to make sure that those youth have the knowledge base and a resource in the school resource officer or other resources they can be pointed to make those decision-making and give them those decision-making tools. So we will continue those efforts. As far as controlled substances that we see responding to calls outside the schools or with the adult, we are following the nationwide trend in the heroin uptick. Unfortunately, that has been local. We have responded to ODs for heroin, which people I think will be surprised about. Thankfully, nobody's died because of it, but for the police and fire department responding, they probably would have. And so that is certainly a concern and something we're continuing to monitor. You mentioned the summer being busy. Unfortunately, the holiday season is also busy. You have family members. It's usually a pretty stressful time of year. Lots of people staying inside. So we tend to see an uptick in domestic incidents or complaints.
And maybe you could share with us some of the resources, because sometimes people aren't aware of the resources. I know at kvkradio.com, there's a suicide number there that people can call. Advocates for Victims of Violence is a great resource. There are places people can get help, and they can call the police department for some of those referrals or as a place to start as well, I would imagine.
Correct. Yeah, you can always start at the police department. I mean, we're one of the few places that are open 24/7, 365, right? So you can start there, and then we can send you to the proper resource. As you mentioned, AVV, the counseling center has, OCS has somebody in town now. And maybe people don't know this because they don't deal with this on a day-to-day basis, but they can start at the police department.
And that's Office of Children's Services?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, OCS, but we've been... That position's been vacant for a long time. So
it has been, yeah.
Nice to have that filled.
It absolutely is nice to have that.
All right, so a lot of things happen during the holidays, but definitely want to encourage people out there. If they're having a rough time or if they need, you know, concerned about someone else even, that's a valid phone call to many of these organizations. And it's nice, it's probably nice to get the call before.
Correct.
Something happens, right?
Absolutely. If we can have a conversation, even if it's just talking on the phone with an officer for half an hour and then having them route to somebody else, that's what we're there for.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming in.
Absolutely.
And hopefully provide a little information. And you're welcome back at any time if we've got more information. I know we were talking about a House bill regarding some of the things happening in our legal system in terms of... Is it just youth or?
No, it's not just youth. And it's Senate Bill 91 is what you're referring to. And it is the biggest criminal justice reform act that I've seen in my career. And so there are going to be consequences at the local level for that.
All right. So maybe at some point we'll have you back and talk about that a little more. But thanks for taking the time this morning and talking a little bit about marijuana, the new laws, and our impact here in Valdez.
Thank you for having me.